This is the Annenberg Learner Podcast, where we aim to elevate the education profession through conversations that inspire, recognize, and encourage innovation and best practices in the field. We track the lived experience of teachers, students, and parents alongside the ecosystem that serves them. Guest speakers will share what's working and the steps we can take to reimagine and redesign teaching and learning for our most vulnerable populations.
Young people, when we asked them, like, what are the barriers, you know, they said transportation. Programs are spread all across, you know, LA County, and then accessing those programs are you know, an issue. They also want more social emotional programs. They want it, you know, especially after the pandemic, they feel like they need more wellness, and there isn't a lot of funding for those programs.
Welcome everyone to another episode of the Annenberg Learner Podcast. With me today is Maria Lu Calanche. Lu is an inaugural executive director of Expand LA, bringing extensive professional experience leading youth development, community, and systems change efforts in Los Angeles. As the founder and former executive director of Legacy LA, a youth development organization for providing at-risk youth living in the Ramona Gardens community of Boyle Heights, Lu built an organization focused on equipping young people with the tools and resources needed to help them reach their full potential. Lu has been a community leader in East Los Angeles for more than 20 years and leverages her background, experience, and extensive connections to ensure she is advocating for improved systems of care for LA's youth. She has also served as a commissioner for the LA's historic El Pueblo de Los Angeles Monuments, Bold Vision Community Council, and helps lead the California Endowment's 10-year Building Healthy Communities initiatives in Boyle Heights. Welcome, Lu.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. So happy to have you here. I know we've been at the table on some other organizations that we participated in to support LA youth. So really excited to dig into Expand LA specifically today.
Sure.
To get us started, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into this work?
So I think my interest in young people and systems change comes from growing up in Boyle Heights. I grew up in the Ramona Gardens community of Boyle Heights, which is the northernmost part of Boyle Heights. And it's a very geographically isolated part of Boyle Heights, surrounded by the 10 freeway, factories, and a railroad line. And growing up there, there were very few opportunities for young people. So growing up, I knew that I was going to be involved in something that would bring different resources to the community. But that wasn't my original trajectory. I actually studied political science, and I worked in politics. I worked for the city of LA for a council member, and then went off to pursue a doctorate to teach. I wanted to teach political science at East LA College. And I was there for probably like 10 years as a part-timer. And once I became a tenured track professor, I actually decided to go back to the neighborhood where I grew up in Ramona Gardens and try to help young people. And so it was more of a volunteer thing. And then I realized that things hadn't changed too much since I was growing up. There still wasn't a lot of opportunities for young people. So I started working with community residents to identify what their needs were. And the residents said they wanted more after-school programs for their kids. They wanted a library. They didn't have a library close by, and more enrichment opportunities and academic support programs. And so I told them, you could do it. Let's work on, you know, figuring out how to make this happen. And they said, well, you have to be part of it. You have to help us. So I left, long story short, I left my teaching job to start Legacy LA.
That's amazing. And what were some of the program offerings that Legacy LA had for the community once it was up and running?
So when we started Legacy, the first program, and which was it's still like the flagship program, was a youth leadership program where we brought 10 kids to work with me, basically, because I was like the staff. I was like, I was an organization of one person. And So my goal was to start a leadership program in order to build community capacity where like young people were involved in making their community better. That program took off, and we were getting all these kids to become community leaders. But the problem was that a lot of them weren't graduating from high school. And so then we're like, oh, so we need programs to help kids graduate. We had about a higher than 60% high school dropout rate in Ramona Gardens. And as I mentioned, it's like a really poor, under-resourced community. And things hadn't changed and kids were still struggling in school. So we started an academic program, which we called the Student Success Program. And we worked with these high school kids. And then we realized that when we would start working with them in ninth and 10th grade, they were already very far behind. So we felt we needed a middle school program. So then we developed a middle school program. And then when those high school kids started, you know, things started going, you know, better for these kids, they started getting into college. And we realized like we would get them into college and they would have such a hard time in college. So then we decided our program needed to be from sixth grade all the way to college completion. And they would stay in the program until they finished college or got a job that they wanted or, you know, figured out some goals. So our work focused on case managing kids. So kids would have a case manager for at least 6 years. And then along with that, there was leadership program, R, and other, you know, programs that were like part of the enrichment program after school.
That's amazing. That's a lot of incredible work in a community and in response to what they wanted, which is fantastic, mm-hmm. with somebody from their area, yeah. which, you know, really validates the experience and brings a lot of expertise just from your being there and having lived there. So now transitioning to your new role as executive director for Expand LA, can you tell us about that work? And it's a fairly new organization, so we'd love to hear how it got started as well.
Yes. So for me, this is like the natural progression of my work at Legacy LA. Not only was I focused on, you know, supporting young people, but we started becoming very involved in advocating for young people. There, we realized that the city didn't have a youth department, so our kids organized to ask for the first, you know, youth department in the city of LA, and were able to get it in 2021. I also learned that the nonprofit sector, especially those focused on youth, wasn't as seen as important as the role that it does have. So when I saw this opportunity with Expand LA to focus on the out-of-school time sector or the expanded learning sector, which is like all our after-school providers, weekend, before school, I thought it was such a great opportunity to start lifting up the sector. So Expand LA, so this is a great, great opportunity for me to continue the work that I care about. So Expand LA is an intermediary organization. So we're kind of like the middle organization with the goal of connecting the nonprofit sector with resources, building their capacity so that they can provide, you know, high quality services, and also advocating on their behalf for more funding. This idea of an intermediary was started, I would say like 5 years ago or more, with some research that was done with the Broad Foundation. And they saw that these large cities like Boston, New York, Chicago, other large cities across the country had intermediary organizations that were focused on the out-of-school time. So they brought a group of folks together along with the mayor's fund, because it got seated in the mayor's fund originally, and brought different providers to the table, including a lot of STEM providers, to think about like what can an intermediary organization do in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. So they visited, you know, other intermediaries across the country and had a lot of dialogue with other organizations across LA and came up with this like strategic plan for an organization. then the pandemic hit and things slowed down a bit, and it shifted to kind of what a lot of folks did and like shifted to like immediate needs. So there was some like STEM programming for kids and some other, you know, opportunities. But then probably towards the end of like, or after, I guess we started reopening schools and, you know, people started going back to work, there was a concerted effort to hire someone that could then spin it off into its own nonprofit and really start doing the work. And that's kind of, that was 2021. And we have this, you know, strategic plan that is focused on, you know, based on three pillars: support, connect, and advocate. Our goal this year was to build a network of providers. So as of today, we have over 200 nonprofit after-school providers that are part of a network, the Expand LA network. And our goal is to continue to build their capacity to provide them resources like professional development. We're focused on, you know, breaking down silos. Sometimes you have organizations working in the same neighborhoods, but they're all kind of just doing their thing. We're working right now to try to increase the rates that these organizations get from LAUSD. There's been a lot of investment in after school. So our goal is to have that investment also be, you know, the after school providers receive that investment from the state so that they can pay better wages, retain staff, because a lot of the after school staff are part-time employees. So there's a lot of turnover. And in order to increase quality, we know that we need to pay more and hopefully people stay longer. There's better training for them. So the long-term goal or the goal mission of Expand LA is to ensure that all kids in LA County have access to high quality after school programs. But that's a little bit of the work that's taken off in this last year, you know, really trying to build a network and bring organizations together and lift up the sector. Just with the 200 plus organizations that are part of our network, we are a economic machine, right? We hire a lot of people in LA, but the sector isn't seen as an important sector, not only for the workforce, but also the safe spaces that we provide for young people after school and the opportunities for parents to work because they don't have to worry about their kids being home alone, but also the opportunities and doors that after school programs open for kids. You know, everybody can think about an after school program they participated in that shaped their life. Right. So these programs are really important. And if you think about it, kids spend more than 2/3 of their, you know, time outside of school. Right. So what they do during those hours is really important. So we want to make sure that LA has amazing opportunities for young people. And that could only happen if we're supporting this sector. So that's a little bit about what we do. But we're just starting. I mean, there's so much potential for Expand LA.
At South LA Best Buy Teen Tech Center, we are cultivating the future of tech in South LA and beyond. We believe in building an ecosystem where partners collaborate and bring the best resources to our community. Our goal is to provide a fun, interactive learning space where members ages 10 to 24 explore technology to discover new interests, collaborate with one another, and prepare for the future. In this safe haven, members have access to scholarships, mentors, career development, paid internships, and training in a variety of technology and art. To learn more, visit www.southlatech.org. That's southlatech.org.
It's a little shocking that something like this didn't already exist in LA because it's such a huge place with lots of opportunity and lots of ways to connect people. Annenberg Learner is one of our initiatives or strategic goals is to really support that out of school time learning. So I'm curious about what are some of the major barriers around accessing programs? You mentioned one that I hadn't thought of, just like the staffing as well, but availability, access, awareness, cost, something else.
One of the first things we did this year, early this year, was a survey. And we released the report, the findings of the survey. We surveyed over 200 organizations and we asked them, like, what are the barriers for you as a provider, and what are the barriers for young people? We also did listening sessions with providers across the county. We did them in all of the spa areas from the Antelope Valley to, you know, Pomona to Long Beach. And then we also did youth listening sessions, the same thing across LA County. And what we heard was funding is definitely a barrier. But one of the interesting things is that there are funds, but the way that funds are distributed by not necessarily philanthropy, but the government funding, but a lot of organizations cannot access that funding. So if you're a smaller organization, you don't really have the capacity to apply for, like, say, an LAUSD grant, right? Because it's just so much, the process just to apply is very difficult. And then you have to have, like, certain types of insurance and things like that. So that's one, just access to the funding, to apply to the funding. So you have some amazing programs out there, small programs, and it's very difficult to, like, to build them up and have, you know, more access for young people because of, you know, just how, you know, how you, the contracting process, right? And then additionally, the contracting of, you know, those organizations that do get those contracts, sometimes it's a burden to get those contracts because you have to get reimbursed. So you don't get a grant, like in philanthropy, you get a grant and you'll get the whole thing all at once, or you get it in like chunks, right? But it's upfront funds, right? LAUSD, the city, the county departments, the state, all these government funds. And there has been more investment in programs for young people, or more dollars and, you know, to support these programs. But a lot of organizations will not apply because a lot of the times you have to wait 3 months to get reimbursed. So an organization has to have, you know, cash flow to be able to front 3 months of, you know, salaries in order to be able to apply for a grant. So a lot of organizations just can't do it. So we're trying to change the contracting infrastructure of these government entities. So those are some of the things that were brought up. We're like I want to grow my organization, but if I go after, you know, there's a lot of funding in, you know, the county or the city or LAUSD, but I just can't, my organization can't apply. We don't have the capacity. So that was something that was brought up. And then also professional development for staff, right? A lot of organizations like spend all their funds on staff and, you know, providing these programs, and very few funds are, can be allocated for professional development. So if we want to increase quality, we got to do better training, right? Young people, when we asked them, like, what are the barriers? You know, they said transportation. Programs are spread all across, you know, LA County, and then accessing those programs are, you know, an issue. Also the hours that they're open, as I mentioned, young, you know, some of the older students want, you know, these programs to stay open, you know, beyond 6 o'clock. They also want more social emotional, you know, programs. They want it, you know, especially after the pandemic, they feel like they need more wellness, and there isn't a lot of funding for those programs, but those are the things that they're asking for. Yeah. So we're advocating, you know, we're trying to develop a plan for, like, how can we get, you know, say the LA County to invest more dollars in our nonprofit so that those programs are readily available in communities. Yeah. So those are some of the top things that I think are things that are fixable, but there has to be an organization like us that's focused on those barriers and obstacles so that organizations can focus on their work, but we can focus on kind of, you know, figuring out how to remove those obstacles that prevent either young people from accessing programs or from providers being able to provide more programs.
Thank you. And thinking on, like, how success will be measured, or maybe 3-5 years down the line, what will that look like when some of these barriers are lifted, removed, lessened? Are there enough seats for every student that wants an out-of-school time learning for them to have?
Yeah. So that's a great question. One of the issues, concerns that we've been like kind of thinking about is like, how do we measure success, right? So we have this new organization, but how are we going to measure success? So one of the problems that exists is that there's very little knowledge, or information as to like how in LA County, like no one can tell you how many young people participate in after-school programs. It hasn't been something that's been tracked. We've been trying to figure out like how many organizations are out there. I tell you, we have over 200, probably close to 250 that are part of our network, but we know there's a lot more, right? There are small orgs or bigger orgs that that are just not on our radar, and LA County is huge. So we've been trying to figure out like, okay, how many orgs are out there doing this work? And then we have to figure out like, how many seats do they have, right? And how much more can they provide if they had more funding? But we're trying to figure out a baseline right now, like what is currently available. So none of that data exists. So we are trying to figure out like how do we start by developing like the baseline information, right? Like what's happening now, so that in 5 years we can say like we made a difference. So that's one thing that we're doing, is like trying to develop like a baseline. But we are actually working, possibly going to work with UCLA to develop some sort of, we did an initial landscape assessment, but we're like, how can we get this baseline data? Yes. So to answer your question, in 5 years, hopefully we have the data to be able to show that this sector is making a difference. But my dream is that every single young person in LA County that wants to participate in an after-school program has access to an after-school program in their community, in their school, that these organizations are linked, they're working together, we're leveraging each other's resources instead of working in silos. So I'm hoping that kids know what's available in their area, they know what's available outside their area, their parents know where to go to access programs, that schools see the importance of after-school programs, that there is continued funding for after school that we have. The other thing we're working on is trying to develop a workforce pipeline, mm-hmm. so that if you're a community college student, you don't just see like an after school program as, okay, I'm just going to work there because I can work 3 hours a day and it works with my school schedule. That's great. But we're saying this could be a career for you, right? So how do we develop a pipeline starting maybe even in high school, just like early childhood education has a program at community colleges where you get certified and then you can go work in that field. We want something like that for expanded learning, that these become pipelines and for teaching, right? You become a teacher after, or you can work in, a recreation center, you can work in a nonprofit, but that this becomes a professional type of endeavor. Versus like, I'm just going to work there because it works with my schedule. Instead, we want this to be like, I want to work in expanded learning or youth development. So this job is just part of me growing and part of my professional development into my career. So those are, different things that we know will lift up the quality of programs as well. So there's so much that can happen. But those are some of the things that in 5 years, if I've done my job, all those things would be moving already and we'll start seeing some real energy around the sector and possibilities.
Love all the goals. And I think they got the right person for this work.
Oh, thank you.
Next with lots of areas and excited to see where Expand LA goes in the next couple of years.
Me too. I'm excited. Yeah.
If you have another minute, I have one more question.
Sure, yes.
That we like to ask our guests. What are you currently reading, watching, or listening to these days?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I just started this book. It's called, it's not like a novel or anything. It's more like I don't want to say self-help, but it's called, I just recommended it. Oh, Designing Your Life. It was recommended by another person who's a coach, and he's like, oh, I'm sharing this with, other folks. So it's written by a Stanford professor they actually have a class at Stanford, I think, from what this book is saying, that's called Designing Your Life. And it has four concrete areas that you can focus on. And the four are obviously like work, and then your love. And love could be it doesn't have to be romantic love. It could be kids. It could be siblings. It could be friends. But that's a really important part of your life. So work, love, health, and fun. So those four things, if you take a minute and do like a gauge, like 1 to 10 for each one of those, a lot of the time, like maybe work is real. I know when I was at Legacy, like that was probably the hardest, you know, thing I ever did was build a nonprofit from scratch. So my work was like 100%, but fun was like 10%. I never saw my friends, love, I didn't see my family as much, right? So one of the reasons for moving on to a different opportunity was like, I need more balance, mm-hmm. Work-life balance, so that now I'm focusing on fun, right? I'm learning how to play piano. I'm focusing on love, trying to see my friends, trying to, visit relatives that are out of state. Those four pillars kind of help you kind of identify areas where you need to do a little bit more focus. So that's what I just started it on chapter 2, but I keep recommending it to other folks.
Thank you so much for sharing. Anything else you would like to share with our learner audience before we sign off?
Everybody listening, I think there's so many opportunities for us to give back to these out of school time programs, whether it is financial contributions. But I think more than anything, a lot of organizations need, mentors, need, the smaller orgs, like Legacy was a grassroots organization. We always needed like professional services, professional development. These organizations are out there doing the work, and everybody out there listening, if you could support, that would be amazing. It makes a difference.
The Annenberg Learner Podcast joins the catalog of multimedia professional learning content to support educators teaching in more effective ways. Annenberg Learner is the education division of the Annenberg Foundation. Learner supports the foundation's mission to encourage the development of more effective ways to share ideas and knowledge. Go to learner.org and annenberg.org to learn more.